were talking last night, yesterday, or 2 nights ago, however you do your math. About the chet of Adam Rishon. So the Yetzirah comes Adam Rishon, he says that Yisim Kelokim. We touch on the idea that a person likes to be in control. A person likes to feel that he's defining where he's going, what he's doing. It's his. He's the boss. When we travel somewhere, we like to be. Many men prefer to be in the driver's seat than be a passenger. It's much, much more fun to be the driver. I feel like you're doing it as opposed to being just somebody slept along. And so we used this mushal before about the person, the world of Bitochen is the world where a person, one day he wakes up and realizes he's not in the driver's seat. As a matter of fact, theoretically, sometimes loyal lane, he doesn't really recognize there's somebody in the driver's seat. And he realizes that he's a passenger, and that there's this bus going somewhere, and the void of Bitochen is to just relax and leave the driving to him. Right? Greyhound. But the problem is, a lot of times we would really like to be more along the lines of the driving instructor. That at least, if not in the driving seat, we have our own brake, and we can always reach over and grab the steering wheel, and we sort of can give directions and instructions exactly how it's supposed to happen while we're going along. So that's our version of Bitochen. That Russian runs the world, but I really would like this to happen. And that's the Yetzer Hara the Yetzer Hara comes and sells this to the Marishan. He says that you can Yetzer Lomas, you can be in control, and it's very, very, very tempting for the desire of the person to feel that not that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control, but he's in control. It seems to be very comforting to us. We like that feeling. The Volber writes a fascinating thing. He says that the person goes through in his life and he goes along. He feels fairly comfortable how life's going to play out. You know, he feels pretty much relaxed, etc. He says what comes along and sort of like shakes everything up is the mita bitachon. Like what takes away all of your relaxation, confidence is bitachon. The day that you wake up and realize you're not in the driver's seat, it's very, very scary. Right? So the fact that you have health until now doesn't guarantee. Previous results do not guarantee future results, and the fact that you've been healthy until now does not guarantee that the next moment something can't happen to you. It's a very scary thought. The fact that you have wealth, the fact that you have everything that you want, so whatever it is, no guarantees. The normal plan. I had a young man who was lived by us in our basement, one of our tenants. He's a very organized person, and he really had his life planned out, like very, very organized. You know, he's going to go to law school, and he's going to get this. He's going to go to school and get this score on his LSATs, and he'll get into this in this law school, and then he'll go and get this in this job. He had it all planned out. Problem was, he got 1 point less than he needed for the law schools he wanted to get into, which would get him the job that he wanted. Like he got a 169 instead of a 170, whatever it was. And that was it. Plan B. He had no plan B because he had it all worked out. And he was like, it took him like a few weeks. He was just in a funk, trying to figure out like what's happening with my life now. That my plan for the next 10 years just went down the tubes. Right? So, we like to be in control. We like to have it all worked out. We like to figure it out, you know that confidence. And all of a sudden, Bershman says, like, oh, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen like that. So if we can turn around and say the Bershom is, you know, okay, I trust you. I'm very, very comfortable being in the passenger seat. Matter of fact, I'll go to the back of the bus and I'll go to sleep. I trust the driver. Right? That's great. It's very hard. So the Yetzer comes out of him and he says, Yetzer Lomas, you can be in control. So we are in control. What the Yetzer was selling was a false bill of goods. It's because what he's selling is truth. You can't sell falsehood to Adam Rishon. You can't sell falsehood to us. What does he sell? He says, happiness. That's a valid Russian guarantees that Olam we're going to have happiness. We're going to have time at Olam Haba. It didn't guarantee an Olam Haza. He tells us, well, you can have an Olam Haza also. Right? Oh, that's a nice bale of goods. Well, you have to find happiness. You can create your own world. That's true. Person gets through what he does in this world, he gets to create a world. Imamish gets to create your own world. So no, you can do it here also. Well, not exactly. The Russian gets sort of decides what's supposed to happen over here. Yeah, but it'd be great to have this kind of here. It'd be wonderful, you know. And the Russian thought, that sounds like very exciting to me. I'm going to create my own thing. Right? We like to do that. So Adam pictures himself that he's going to be a Kelukim. And he sort of understands better than the Tzivri of Hashem. The Russian, you know, said this, but you know, there's other cheshbonos, there's other considerations, etc. So Elokim also says, "Olam Yashav Behem Bikshu Cheshbonos Rabim." They came up with different cheshbonos. So what happens after the chet? So the Bereshit comes looking for Adam, and he hides. So the human being is hevaitri as a cheshbon. The human being can hide from his creator. And then the Bereshit asks him what happened, and he gives an answer. He didn't say that something wrong. He says, well, I have a reason why. So, there's all these different cheshbonos. So we mentioned the idea that the purpose of the din is to sort of clear our heads and realize that, no, you don't have excuses. You need to address your issues. You can't hide. You need to address your issues. The person knows better than you. And you can't make this cheshbonos why what you're saying is better. And you're not Kelukim. You're being judged by your creator. The person then goes back to his creator. So that's foundational tshuva. Tshuva basisit. Basic tshuva is you go back to your creator. So the idea that we call a person about tshuva. It's about tshuva. Shmuz ever sleepless. He never was Shomer Shabbos in his life. So why is he Baal Tshuva? Why is he returning? Returning to where? He never was there. Well, he was there. He was there in a state of being where he was dependent upon his creator and the creator decided for him. And he thought that he left that reality and he goes back to that reality. So Rosh Hashanah is the Or. Hashem Arabi Yishi. Because I'll say that Or is referring to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the clarity that a person needs. It's or, it's clarity. Yishi is Yom Kippur. That with that clarity, what do you do with it? What do you do with that clarity? Okay, I realize now that the way I'm going until now doesn't make any sense. I need to figure something out. I need to address something. I need to make some changes. I need to rethink my approach. So, it's fascinating. So, the Kimos is Adam Yosher. So Mora says that the Shavuot of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be bent, because on Rosh Hashanah, the more a person bows themselves mildly today, the Mora says it's better. And the Shavuot of Yom Kippur, which is used on Yovel, is supposed to be straight, because Yom Kippur is a day of straight, it's a day of Yosher. So Reb Chatzel says that the word of Yom Kippur, you know, we sort of associate in our minds. Yom Kippur is like the charata and the crying and the shamnus, you know, those type of things. And Rosh Hashanah is sort of straight and, you know, straightforward, malchus, etc. Chazal said not like that. Rosh Hashanah is the process of a person bowing to his creators. And the process of bowing will arouse in you the emotion, like, what was I thinking? Yom Kippur, the word is to come up with a plan. It's yosher, it's straight. You have that ability. You have the ability to think straight. The Shofar Yom Kippur is to be straight. It's to address it in a real way. I need to change. I do need to change. I could do better. I would like to do better. I realize I would prefer doing better. I'm not happy where I am. So I have a problem with Lashon Hara. And I really don't enjoy the fact that I speak so much Lashon Hara. It bothers me very much. I really wish I didn't speak so much Lashon Hara. So I have the beginnings of the process of Charata. I regret the fact that I speak Lashon Hara. I wish I didn't speak Lashon Hara like that. Rosh, I would like to change. So that's it. No more Lashon Hara. I'm never going to say Lashon Hara again. Wonderful. It's not going to work. We know that. Right? Well, I have such clarity now that Lashon Hara is such a terrible thing. I'm not going to do it again. Okay, so you're going to go home by Nizmanim. You're going to meet your best friend. He's asking, so what's going on in Yeshiva? What happened with so-and-so? Is he still there? Is he doing better than he used to do? Like, you know, is he still doing his shik like he used to do? I'd rather talk about it. Come on, just, you know, I mean, you know, what's going on? You know, well, you know, he's not really doing so great. Really? Oh, come on, like, there he is. Wow, it's like, you know, it's you know, so we have, of course, we have a suit of Motsi Yom Kippur, so you don't leave Motsi Yom Kippur. That doesn't happen, it happens the next morning. So you made it, you know, like 12 hours without, you know, I mean, you can blow up before that also if you want, you know. But so here I am, it's 12 hours later, and I'm already doing something I don't want to do. So what was your plan? How are you planning to deal with that issue? How are you planning to deal with the issue that you have situations which are difficult? Do you have any plan for them? And maybe you don't have a plan for all of them. Okay, that's fine. So he still says that the Voida is to address at least the Bechinas Kalos. I'm not going to solve all my problems. That's not my Voida. But I need to get into my mind that there are easier cases and harder cases. Right? There are cases I have, you know, situations which that are very difficult to deal with. I won't deal with them well. Okay, so we're not putting that on the screen for now. We'll deal with but there's cases which are not so hard. And so what can I do to avoid those cases? Part of avoida is not solving all the problems. Part of avoida is recognizing that you shouldn't be in certain situations. I have certain friends that don't do anything good for meeting me with them. You know, we waste a lot of time, we seek lashon hara, etc., etc., etc. So why am I hanging out with them? What's drawing me to them? Right? Well, they're really great guys. That's really wonderful. I mean, so that's true. Maybe in my previous, you know, when I was younger, they were great guys for me. Maybe in the part of my life, they're not so great guys for me. I can do better. Or I really care about them very much and I want to be with them. Okay, so find a way to interact with them positively. Think about it. Address it in a real way. It's not a game. It's real. Right? If this is important enough to us that we really want to be better, I really don't want to be a person who does X. So that it's worth spending time thinking about it. So you have, theoretically, a whole year, theoretically, all of Elul, theoretically, you know, at least now, we're studying a week before Yom Kippur, that we have a week. And a person should take some time, take a piece of paper, say, what are the issues that I want to address? What are the issues that I'm not, the areas where I'm not happy with myself, I would like to do better. Again, I'm not, my goal isn't, you know, this global change, I'm going to become like, you know, like Tzadik Yisrael Olam, you know, overnight, you know. I have areas. I have areas which, and you know, we a lot of times focus on either the things I'm doing wrong, like the Losa says, the Veiras. Sometimes we focus on the mitzvahs. I wish I did better. I wish I davened better. I wish I had my Ben Achon Aver was better. I wish my learning was better. Okay, so what can you do to make your learning better this year? Right. How can you address that? And if it's honest, if it's yosher, so Rav Chassel says that, you know, if you make a Kabbalah, which you know you're going to fail in, so all you do to accomplish is you train yourself in Sheker. You can't come to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur with Sheker. If you make a Kabbalah, which is smaller, but it's real, that's something which you know you can really do with effort, you know, which is challenging, but it's something that it's going to realistically fit into your reality, but you move yourself forward. So that's the thing we spoke about on Shabbos. That the real opinion says that there's a down payment concept. Rosh, I'm changing. I am changing. I need to change a lot of things. I have this, like, you know, 1,000-year plan, right? I don't live 1,000 years. That's Rosh, that's your business. Besides me, I'm ready to change. I'm doing it step by step. Now, the reality is, theoretically, if we would do that, the process would get easier over the years, and it would go a little more quickly. In Mishnah Zabaron, Rabaron says that people, you know, say, when am I going to finish Shas? Like, it seems to be like an overwhelming goal. But you got to finish Shas. You know, like, you know, are you talking? And Rosh Hashanah Teshuva, you know, came out, and I think it was Lama Tess, you know. See Mashas, it was Lama Tess, and out of that, he says, Mersha says, there's a Chiv, Mishnatim Lovanecha, Dimitar Mechadav Meficha, there's a Chiv to know Shas. So, it was presented to the Gura, advocating the concept of learning that for me. I think it was also, don't want to use the word indictment, but, you know, it means really, really learning it, not, you know, sitting there and just pretending that it's going in, right? Okay, but if you want to really know Shas, you know, Dibur Torah Mechazanu Meficha, you have to know Shas. So, at the rate of 50 blot a year, so you can do the math, right? 2,700 blot, you know, take you at that rate. That you know it well, theoretically, if you're moving forward and the Tzaka moving forward, every 2 years you do 100 blots, right? So in 54 years you finish us, right? Okay, that's the plan. So what time, like 75, 80, I should finish us the first time, you know? And by then already, you forgot the first, you know, the first you blot, you have to keep, you know, so. The point is, if I come to Kadosh Baruch Hu with a plan, Rosh, I'm not going to finish it tomorrow. So Rav Aaron says, you're measuring your abilities at 50 blot a year. Hopefully by the time you've covered like about, you know, somewhere in the, about 1,500 or so, you do it should go more quickly. You should be able to do more than 50 blot a year. You've mastered the skills. And by the time you hit, you know, you're hailing my 2,000, it goes even more quickly. The next thing you know, like, you know, and just, you know, and then instead of taking 54 years, it took you 20 years. And then the next time around, it goes more quickly. All right. So that's that. But the same thing is true in Avoda. You know, the process of change is a skill. You learn how to ride a bike. Learning to ride a bike takes time. You know, you fall, you hurt yourself, scratch yourself, get back on the bike again. Right? Somebody says, you know, their parent, friend, whoever says, you know, you can do it. Get back on the bike, try it again, and then eventually you get good at it. You're better at it than you were before, and then you keep practicing. You know, you know. Next thing you know, you can go very long distances and accomplish a lot. I'm at the bike Michelin this year, I guess. I don't know, right? So. The process of addressing a nakuda in yourself is a very big, very, very big accomplishment, and we shouldn't disparage it in any way if it's real. So the Shir Das has a fascinating moshul. Shir Das and Nishmas HaTorah, the Talta tells the Rav, he has a shmuz called Nishmas HaTorah, and Nishmas HaTorah, he says like this. He says that. We talk about making a small Kabbalah. We talk about making a small change. We talk about making a little bit of a difference. It's like, you know, so what's it worth? What did I accomplish? It says, imagine you have a field, and this field is covered with sesame seeds. This field is the size of a soccer field, you know, and it's covered with one layer of sesame seeds. Probably billions of sesame seeds there, but you almost can't see the height of the sesame seeds. They're very small. So you come in and you add a second layer of sesame seeds. Second layer. You've added billions of sesame seeds. Do you see the difference? Kind of almost to see the difference. The height is almost exactly the same. The difference between one layer high or two layers higher of sesame seeds, no major difference. But the reality is you've added billions of sesame seeds. If we would understand Godless Adam and how a small change spreads out throughout the whole person, and it spreads out throughout all of the people that he interacts with, on a physical level, and it spreads out beyond that. The repercussions go to the beyond himself and beyond the people directly with, etc. Then you understand in the metaphysical reality how he impacts. He's connected to the whole Bria, and the whole Bria has changed, and all of the Lomas are a little bit different because this person has made a mashu of a real change. He says it wasn't a small change; it was billions and billions and billions of realities which have changed. That's what change is. That's what tshuva is. That's what it means. He says, and the truth is, the mashal doesn't really explain the nimshal, because in the nimshal, in the reality, when I change a little bit, it's one layer plus another layer on top of it. The bottom layer is different also. The whole person is different. I'm a person who I've changed. I've become more sensitive. I've become more caring. I'm more careful. I'm a different person. I look at the world differently. So the process of change, you know, we talk about the idea of a small change. Now, you know, they say that the Rishas, you know, made his Kabbalah, he's going to bench from a venture in 1 year. Like, you know, so my wife asked, you know, like, you know, so you come in like Yom Kippur with this big pile of Averis, you know, and Kabbalah benching from a venture on the other side, like, exactly how does it work? You know, I wasn't there. I didn't hear his Kabbalah. I don't know exactly what he said. You know, what issue he was addressing. It's not sure you have a Kabbalah. I don't make a Kabbalah. You don't make a Kabbalah. You know that. You know, I'm gonna, you know, say I don't love him in a nigun every year. You know, that's not a nice Kabbalah. You know, but what's it addressing? You know, I'm gonna sing a don't love him every single morning. Right. That might be a beautiful Kabbalah for you. That might be the right Kabbalah that you need. You need to have more simcha in your life, and you're going to do it by singing the Olam every morning. Okay, good. So you're addressing an issue. You're changing. You know, I'm assuming that he made that Kabbalah, he was addressing an issue. In some way, he was changing. That's not a small thing. It's a tremendous reality of change. So he spoke about that a person comes and says, I can't. I'm labeled. I'm a person who doesn't bench from. My label is non-bencher. You know, I bench from non-benchers. See, without a bencher, right? So I can't change. So you could. You know, it's not such an overwhelming change, right? But his goal was, I imagine, you know, to have more kavanah in his benching, which means have more karsatay, to be more aware of the chesed Kodesh Baruch Hu does for him, and react to that. And there's a chain reaction. There's a reality which is happening. Person says that if I make a Kabbalah, I have a problem coming to davening every morning. I make a Kabbalah, I'm coming to davening every single on time every single day. I mean, that's not realistic. But a person, and it has to be a real Kabbalah, but a person says, you know what, I really want to be, you know, davening is such a special part of my reality. I need to learn about it more. I need to think about it more. I need to make a charusa once a week and make a charusa now. I'll take care right after I come back from Sukkot. Famous last words. I want to make a charusa to learn about davening, so I'll appreciate davening better. And you'll be—I understand somewhere like you know around order time, it's not going to be the same as it was during Yom Teruah. But I'm going to that much I can commit to. I made a charusa. We both commit. There'll be weeks we'll miss, but and hopefully I can then take that and make a change. I have an issue with kibbutz of aim. Right? I don't speak to my parents with the proper respect. You know, so what about I can learn the halachas? I can think about what they've done for me. I can practice with a friend. There's many things you can do. What works for you? What's right for you? What's your tchunas nefesh? Why are you picking that? Why does that speak to you? Because you're worried about Gehenna? Okay, that's one possibility. You know, because I'll say you know, kibbutz of aim is a very very dangerous mitzvah, so you have to be very careful with it. But maybe because you really deep down would like to have a better relationship with your parents. So why don't you have that relationship with your parents? What are you grappling with? What's the issue? So maybe you have to start there. Like, be honest. Be real. It's yosher. The process of Yom Kippur is yosher. It's straight. But the problem is with the godless over here is that Elohim also is Adam yosher. We have yosher inside of ourselves. We didn't lose that. We have the ability to think and be honest with ourselves. What really is the problem? Why do I always, does my mother always get under my skin and I say things I don't want to say? Obviously it bothers me because I feel bad afterwards. Right? Just because that's the halacha, you know, I mean, Baruch Hashem, that'd be quite a madriga. I think most of us would think it's because there's something more to it than that. You know, it bothers us. We care about it. Lashon Hara bothers me. Why did I hurt somebody? What am I doing? What's wrong with me? What's the issue inside of me that I'm grappling with which is causing me to do that? I feel low about myself. Good. Since the issue is Lashon Hara, the issue is you have a problem that you don't feel good about yourself. So make you feel good about yourself. Do something good. Find some way that you can change and feel the glow of change and feel good about yourself. And I don't need to fake Lashon Hara about somebody else anymore. So the problem isn't the friend. The problem is I have low self-esteem. You know, it has to be yosher, it has to be real. It has to be honest. And that's the clarity that, you know, that Rosh Hashanah gives us the clarity that the Bereshit is in control. He's the boss. We need to change. That's a clarity. We can't continue as we are. And deep down, we want to change. What are we going to do to make that real? So the Yom Kippur is the yosher. It's to come up with a real plan. We have 7 days. 6 days, 7 days till the end of Yom Kippur. You have to end of Yom Kippur. To come up with something in some way that we're going to make a real change this year, in some way we're going to be different. We're going to see that, and again, it's not something earth shattering. That we can see that we're going to see Siyata Deshmaya Bezat Hashem, that that change we implement will be real enough that we come, you know, all of an Elul next year, we say, you know what, I've held on to something of that Kabbalah. Something of that Kabbalah is still there. So I can come to the next year and say, you know what, I grew a sesame seeds worth over the year. But that sesame seeds is phenomenal because it's spread out over billions and billions of applications.